being in with this morning would be considering the Holy Ghost, the third person of Godhead, how long has it been that you really consider the office or the place of the person, the work of the Holy Ghost? It seems like that for the most of my Christian life, the Holy Ghost was just kind of taken for granted in my thoughts. And yet, He has always been there ever since the quickening. Ever since He quickened me, He has been there. The Holy Ghost has abided in me. And, you know, He has known everything about me. My thoughts are far off. Everything. And yet, how little have I thought about the Holy Ghost? And I know that we were taught, you know, that He was not to speak of Himself, but He's to speak of Jesus. And so I think sometimes we tend to think that, well, because He is not speaking of Himself, that we shouldn't really think about Him. But I don't think that's so. I believe that the Holy Ghost is as much a part of the work of God in salvation as the Father and the Son. I mean, each one has his particular office, if I can refer to it that way. Almost sometimes feel like that's irreverent to look at it that way, but all three persons of the Godhead are necessary to the salvation of our souls. And the Holy Ghost is no less. The Father sends the Son, and the Father and the Son send the Holy Ghost. But, you know, this sending is not like we usually think of it, as though one person is above another and has the authority to send and the other must go. But that's not the way it is within the Godhead. That it's all in one, and there's not one above the other, but they are all in all. And so as we look at the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead, we've already looked at the power, that He is the power of God. I can hardly say it, if the Holy Ghost were eliminated, there would be no power of God. Now, that's not going to happen. Can't happen. But nevertheless, theoretically, you know, that is true. That the Holy Ghost is the power of God. And secondly, the Holy Ghost directs the work of God. He is the one that is active in directing the work of God within us. It was the Holy Ghost that moved those Old Testament prophets to say the things, to prophesy of the things that they did. Without the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God that was in them, as Peter puts it, that there would have been no Word of God. There, back then, there would have been no movement of God back then. Those old prophets, they weren't superhuman. As we already looked at Elijah, right? He was a man of what? Like passion, as we are. He was just another man. He had no special powers within himself. All that he did by the movement of God. And without him, without the Spirit of God, he could have and would have done nothing. Think of Amos. Amos said, I was not a prophet. I was not the son of a prophet. I was out there, in the sheepfold, picking sycamore fruits. But God moved upon him. And then I think of those disciples that were out there, fishing their nets. They were mending their nets and everything. And Christ walked by and he says, come follow me. And amazingly, what did they do? Man, they left their net. They just dropped their nets and went and followed Christ. Same thing with Matthew. Matthew was on the Sea of Customs. Christ walked by. He says, come follow me. And Matthew gets up, just leaves everything, and he comes and follows him, Christ. That's Jeremiah. Jeremiah was out there plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. And God, through Elijah, I'm sorry, I think I'm getting that mixed up, but it was Elisha that was doing the plow with 12 yokes of oxen. And he said, Elijah says, come and follow me. And you know what he did? He slaughtered all those oxen, often up as a burnt offering, using his plowing instruments as wood to burn the fire.
Same way with the net. We were talking about the nets. Man, we don't know how hard it was to come by a net back then.
Back then. Took hours and hours and hours of hard work.
Days and days, I think.
Yes. To get one of those nets going. And yet, they just dropped it. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. But what about in your life? What about in my life? Has there been any power of the Holy Ghost in our lives? And the answer to that is yes. Yes, if we're here voluntarily, as it were, if we're here willingly, it's because the Holy Ghost has moved upon us to that end.
Amen.
Now, and I don't know how this is all fitting into to the sermon this morning, except that we're talking about the power of God.
Yeah.
We're talking about the one that directs our lives.
And restraining those who don't belong to him.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Restraining those who are outside of Christ.
Yes,
keeping them
restraining. Yes.
Which is everybody. I mean, everybody on that planet.
Right. And yet, that's one of the things that we're seeing, that he's withdrawing that restraining power today. And so men are being able to do what they really want to do.
Yes.
Only he that let it will let until he be taken out of the way, and then that lawless one, will be revealed. And so that's being revealed today. And I was thinking just yesterday, driving the bus and dealing with those kids, those four, those fifth and sixth grade kids are, it's like, it's kind of like it's a new moon every day. And I'm thinking, you know, even from last year, compared to last year, it seems like they are wilder, more discontent, and I don't know. It just seems like, again, that people are getting more and more steeped in ungodly rebellion.
Amen.
And they do not want to have any kind of authority or control over things. But anyway, we've talked about the Holy Ghost as being the power of God, the direction of God, and the sanctifier. The sanctifier. Do we really have a wonderful understanding and appreciation of this thing of being sanctified? Mm-hmm. Set apart from the world, come out from among them and be ye separate, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. What an amazing, wonderful thing that is. Mm. Just that God has called us, and the one that he's called, he's justified. Mm. And the sanctification, it comes with that justification. And then he glorified, right?
Right.
And he is accomplishing all of that in us day by day, even in the realization that there's still sin in flesh. But who doesn't hate it? But now we're going to read again the blessed promise of the Holy Ghost. Chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. But Lord, how can we do that? Well, he gives us the answer and the assurance. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Have you ever connected the keeping of the commandments with the power and abiding of the Holy Ghost? That they're one and the same thing, really. He is the one that causes us, moves us to keep his commandments. If the Holy Ghost loves the commandments of God because he is God, and because it was he and the Father and the Son that set forth these commandments, can he not love them? And can we not love them? The commandments of the Lord to us are not grievous, right? They're not grievous to us. And if they're not grievous to us, then what are they? Oh, they're holy,
yeah,
and righteous and good and just. And they're beautiful. They're peaceful. And Brother Bruce, you already said it today. The only way that people can ever have that peace that they say that they want is to obey God.
Amen.
In the Spirit of Christ, by the power of the Holy Ghost. to know, that the natural man does not want that. He does not want to have anything to do with that. He wants to be happy, but he wants to be happy in under his own guidelines, if I can put it that way. Mm-hmm.
There was a young man who's been appointed the he's the head of the chaplains at Harvard, and he's an atheist. And people were saying, well, you know, that kind of a contradiction. And this guy's saying, no, not really. He's saying, you know, because they got chaplains that are Buddhists and other different faiths, and he just happens to be an atheist. But, you know, he's encouraging dialogue and the sharing of ideas, and that they can be, moral people also. Just because they're atheists doesn't mean they're going to be
running.
And so, but that's the way people think. So they want peace, they want happiness, but they want to do it their way. Satan's way is what it really boils down to. It's the same thing he said in the garden.
Garden back then.
Yeah, I mean, so it's like sin is garden fresh. And it is, I talked to somebody the other day who's depressed and anxious and this and that, and is going to go see some psychiatrist.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I said, why are you, why don't you listen to the God who made you?
Yeah.
And what he has to say. But
yeah,
they trust men.
Absolutely. And God has already said there is no peace in wickedness.
Right?
Yeah. They're like the troubled sea.
Yeah.
Casting up its mire.
Yeah.
But that's not so for God's people. And we ought to appreciate more and be more thankful that God has called us and that he has justified us and that he is glorifying us. He has glorified us in Christ already, and he's completing all of that work and will bring it to fruition, complete, absolute, total fruition at the second coming of Christ. And who wants anything less than that? I don't. What would be so wonderful about staying on this earth for another 1,000 years if at the end of that 1,000 years is all going to revert back to the way it is now?
Right.
But when Christ returns, he returns in the clouds of glory, and he will make all things new. So the Holy Ghost is, and he has his part in that, right?
Amen.
So, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And then in chapter 16, verse 12, I have yet many things, he says, to his disciples to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of what?
Truth.
Again, of truth. The truth. Ye shall know the truth. And what's the truth going to do for you? It's going to set you free. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath of mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. And then he says, a little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. There was a necessity, right, that the Holy Ghost come and abide with us now forever. That's a long time, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Does that include eternity?
Amen.
Yeah, it does. That he'll always be there. And we need him to be there because he is the one that first gave us life.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the one who sustains that life. And he is the one that directs our paths. He is the providential of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows all things. And so we come down to it today. The Holy Ghost is our teacher.
Amen.
He does teach us. He teaches us. By the Word, does he not? He teaches us by the Word. How do we know of the Holy Ghost? How do we know of Jesus? You realize that there are multitudes and multitudes of people today that have never heard of Jesus.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. There are. And of course, there's multitudes and multitudes more that do not want to hear of Jesus. They're perfectly happy without him. Thank you. But those that are born of the Spirit of God, born, conceived, born of the Holy Ghost, they do want to hear. They want to know the workings, how the Holy Ghost works within us, both to will and to do of God's good pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
The natural man doesn't want that, does he?
Mm-hmm.
The natural man knoweth not the things of God.
Right.
Right?
Right.
He is never going to do good. He's never going to see God unless God reveals himself to that person.
Right.
But God, the Holy Ghost, is our teacher. 1 Corinthians Chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Pray, there's too many today, many even that profess the sovereignty of God, that their means of saving people, and they do think they're able to do that, is with excellency of speech. And how many people follow these charismatic people, both men and women. Because they speak smoothly to them. But Paul says, I came to you not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything of you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, what does that consist of, though? It consists of the whole Bible. The apostle is very clear when he admonishes us to look at the whole of the scripture, not just part of it, to declare all, right? All the word of God, not just the smooth parts of it, but those that convict us of sin and show us the sin in our lives. And we need that. We have to have that. We have to have the Holy Spirit convicting us and convincing us of those things that are of God. But Paul says in verse 3, and I was with you in what?
Weakness.
In weakness. In what?
Fear.
Fear. And in much trembling. Was the Apostle Paul a superhuman? No. He was just like Elijah. He was a man of like kind, such as we are. Just no difference whatsoever. Except that in his estimation, he was the chief of sinners. And yet, as I've said before, I believe if he were among us today, we'd have an argument over that. Verse 4, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The Spirit here spelled with a capital S. But we wouldn't need that capital S on there. It could have been a little S, and we'd say we'd know the same thing, right? It is God. It's God that teaches us. He is the power. He is the Spirit of power. Again, we looked at this a couple of weeks ago, that He is the power of God. And so it is written here, isn't it? But the Apostle Paul preached under this power. He says, and the reason is that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The Holy Ghost is the power of God. Wherefore, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. That's what we were talking about earlier, right? Nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But how voluminous, can't even say it, but how many that are teaching today according to the wisdom of man. You just mentioned that, Brother Bruce. It's pitiful. It really is pitiful. But you know, we just forget those. For they are blind, leaders of the blind.
Yes.
And what did Jesus say is going to happen? They're going to both fall in the ditch. Lord, help us not to be in that number.
Amen.
Give us the Comforter and His power. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world to come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained when? Before the world? Under what? What did He ordain this to be? Under our glory. Folks, God is to be admired. And the apostle says, told the church at Thessalonica, he said, He's coming back to be adored in the saints. Mm-hmm. Folks, it's what the world sees in us that matters.
Yes.
Because ye shall be my witnesses. You know, we talk about witnessing to people, but you can't help but witness to people. You're witnessing to them every day of your life. You're witnessing to them, and they ought to be seeing the power of God in us. He said, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Then how necessary was it that there be wicked people on this earth not endowed with the Holy Ghost? That they had to be. There had to be wicked people. And folks, the same is true today. There has to be wicked people in this world. They're going to be, but they have to be. But if there were no wicked people in Jesus' day, then what? He was not crucified, then what? There's no salvation, right? No salvation. But because of wicked men, they took him and slew him. They really didn't know what they were doing, did they? They had no idea what they were really doing. All they knew was they were worked up into a frenzy. And they had to crucify this man.
Yeah. They knew it sooner than they done it.
Yeah, they did.
And it turned the darkness everywhere around them.
Yeah, even Judas Iscariot, he was not repentant of it in the sense that he came and bowed before God and confessed Jesus Christ. But he was convicted of it, wasn't he?
Sure.
And even to the point that he abhorred his life.
Yeah.
And he went out and he killed himself.
Yeah. That's where the term they talk about people talking, they say his field is good.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
Literally spilled his guts. Romans 1:16, we know this scripture. But we're talking about the Holy Ghost teaching us. The apostle says in verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." But the point is, it's the power of God. But why is it the power of God? Because it's the Holy Ghost that is administering, or ministering, if you want to have it that way, ministering to our souls that we do confess Christ, and our life in the sense of joy, in the sense of happiness, in the sense of peace, in the sense of contentment, in every good sense, is dependent upon the Holy Ghost working in us the things of God.
Amen.
Now, again, this of course reminds us of, again, 1 Corinthians. First chapter 1, verse 18, for instance, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved," what is it? It's the power of God. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? "Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" And yet, they keep going to the wisdom of this world, right? The doctors, the lawyers, the counselors, on and on and on it goes. And there gets to be more of them every day, because there's a greater number of people that need them.
Yeah.
Like Brother Bruce was saying a few minutes ago, they've got to go see one of these psychiatrists or psychologists, or some of them go even to the soothsayers, right, thank you. The soothsayers. That they're seeking help. That they know that things are not right. And yet, they will not come to Jesus. "You will not come to me," he said. "But you will go to another." You'll go to another. And they do gladly. Oh, they're happy to go in there and just give them all kinds of money for their evil advice, for their vanity. But they do it. "But as it is written," verse 9, "I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto who? Unto us. By what means?
By his Spirit."
By his Spirit. And who is that
Spirit?
It's
the old thing.
"He revealed them unto us." For the Spirit does. The Holy Ghost searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God.
dwell in the deep things of God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those things that are hidden in the darkness, right?
They call the mysteries.
I'm sorry?
They would call the mystery.
Yeah, the mystery. He reveals the mystery. He reveals the wonder of God's wisdom, of God's thinking, of God's purpose. He just reveals God to us.
That's what it boils down to.
He just reveals God to us.
The true and living God.
The living God, not some God of the figment of the imagination.
I mean, the fact that God always has been, and He always has been God. I mean, He can't be anything but God,
right?
And the infiniteness of that, and that's what, you know, when the last day is over, and there's going to be heaven and there's hell, that heaven is going to be like it was before creation. Only
it will be pure.
And this is what kind of blows me away, is that God is going to share Himself fully with all those that He saved.
Right.
Just like it was before creation.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just an amazing thing. It's just almost indescribable. Well, it is.
Well, it isn't amazing. In our text, He tells the disciples, you can't receive these things now.
Mm-hmm.
You're not able to receive these things now. But when I'm resurrected, this is going to be a different story. So here we are, Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 18. For what after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. That's what they're doing. Again, what I think, JP, you read that last Lord's Day, that they were running from sea to sea and seeking the Word of God, and they can't find it. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Let me ask you a question. Can you preach God without the Word of God? No, you can't. Why not? Because it is the wisdom of God, and it is the power of God unto salvation. And He's going on, but we... No, I'm sorry, verse 22... For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the what? The power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men.
Amen.
And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now, again, that's all figure in business.
Right.
There is God does not have any foolishness, and he also lacks no power.
Right.
So, all right, Psalm chapter 18, and we're running out of time, so I'm not sorry we got started here. But Psalm 18, and verse 44, the psalmist says, as soon as they hear me, or hear of me. Now this goes back to what we were talking about earlier. There's the Matthew. There is John, right? And James. I don't know, like JT was saying, that in those times, life was hard. And they had nets, and they had to fix those things and finish them, or else they had no means of making a living. So when Christ spoke, remember Lazarus in the tomb? You know, all Jesus had to do was say, Lazarus, come forth. How powerful is that? But how powerful is it that he regenerates a heart that is deceitful above all things and desperate for people? Amazing. Verse 43 of Psalm 18 says, Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. Have you been delivered from the strivings of the people? What is the strivings of the people? That's all those sun, moon, and stars type thing that come during the day. As soon as they hear me, oh, the power of God. They shall obey me. And that's the key to it, isn't it? Again, the Holy Ghost, he empowers us to obey God, to obey him in love. He says, the strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers that he's talking about are you and I. The Gentiles.
Right.
Those that were strangers and from the covenants of promise. The aliens from the commonwealth of Israel.
Far off.
They were far, far off. In fact, they were in total, complete darkness, right? They were without God in the world. And yet, when God speaks, when he spoke to those people in the apostles' day, when he spoke to them, what happened to them? Immediately, they become altogether different. They're not the same anymore. Old things have done what? They have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
as soon as they hear me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. In Deuteronomy, go to chapter 29. Get these pages to turn. In verse 4, here's what he says. And, Bruce, you pointed this out some time ago. It's the first time that the word faith is found in the Bible, but it's in a negative sense here, isn't it? Verse 4, yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. Now, the reason for that is, as Bruce has pointed out, because there was no faith in them.
Right.
There was no faith in them. And what a strange thing to say. But you have to have that faith, and where does it come from? From the living God.
Right.
The empowerment of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit. The Spirit of God. Yet the Lord has not given you everything is vain except the Lord build the house.
Mm-hmm.
They labor in vain and build it. And except the Lord keep the city. Yeah. The watchman waketh, but what good does it do?
Right.
You're not going to be victorious. None of us are going to be victorious over the evil, first of our own hearts, and secondly, the evil of this world. None of us are going to be victorious over it except by faith, which is produced by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Well, I guess we'll have to leave it there for right now. We will be back to this idea. But, you know, I hope that you are being blessed.
Amen.
The Lord has blessed me as I study these things.
Sure.
And I just pray and trust that God is filling your hearts and minds with His glory.
Amen.
What we're seeing is the glory of God. The beauty of God. Can't have glory without beauty, can you?
Mm-hmm.
Or beauty without glory. It is impossible.